Good morning. My name is Dennis, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the CanCare 2.0 implementation call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question and answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. I will now turn the call over to Ms. Becky Ross. Please go ahead.
Thank you, Dennis. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to this second implementation call. We're holding these on Tuesday and Thursday of this week, and this is your opportunity to ask us questions about the CanCare implementation. We'll have a few updates from the state staff. So we have staff from KDHE and KDADS on the line, as well as staff from our three managed care organizations and DXC, our enrollment broker. So for the KDHE updates, first of all, I'd like to point you all to the CanCare website. On the front page, we have the transcript and the recording of last Thursday's call already posted. And we will post the information from today's call later today as soon as we receive that information. So it's right there on the front page for you. Also like to remind everyone that we're still in the open enrollment period, which will continue until April 3rd for members who... have questions about open enrollment or would like to change their MCO, they can call the 1-866-305-5147. That's 1-866-305-5147 to change their managed care organization. If they want to stay with the plan that they're with, they don't have to do anything. I would also point members to the large sheet that was part of their enrollment packet that's called the Health Plan Highlights for 2019. And you'll note at the top that there are toll-free numbers there listed for each of the MCOs, along with most of their value-based or their value-added services, the extra services that they bring. With that, I'll turn it over to KDADS for any updates that they might have.
Hi, this is Amy Penrod from KDADS. Today, I don't have any particular updates. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Amy. Next, we'll turn to United for any updates they may have.
Hi, good morning. This is Carrie Times with United Healthcare. And we are not seeing any issues. We're seeing a little bit of increased call volume in our member call center, which is expected when you have a new group of members coming in. But we're not seeing any trending issues, just normal questions and inquiries from members. And we're not seeing any issues with transition files. They're coming in. We're able to load the off with providers if they have questions. So things are going as expected. Thank you.
Thanks, Carrie. Now we'll turn it over to Aetna for their update.
Hello, this is Keith Wisdom from Aetna. Overall, our major processes are working. Member calls, we're handling a pretty high volume. Provider calls, pharmacy claims, prior authorizations, claims adjudication. On the care coordination side, we're making outreach to both members and HCBS providers. Feel things that are working as they should. There were six items that we had as takeaways from the last call, and Becky, I assume now is a good time for us to go over those.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So the questions from last Thursday, there were questions about our provider reps, provider representatives, and not being available on the website. There are five representatives and their phone numbers that are on the website. We have three new hires in training, and once they're available to service providers, they'll be on the website as well. there's always the provider service line, and even if a provider doesn't have an assigned rep at this time, we can make one available if that's needed. So we think there's plenty of options there to reach people alive. On the website, there were a number of fixes put in and requests from the state, along with provider directory search fixes put in place. So 15 updates were made successfully over the weekend. The provider search is working working well now, but we are still looking at some additional issues that we think need to be solved. So there's a few cases where we're not seeing providers appear that we expect to be there, and so we're working through additional rounds of testing, and we'll solve that as soon as possible. I think the functionality is incredibly improved, but we're not done working on it. The provider trainings and how somebody can sign up if they do not have all the required information. All the providers should have the information to complete a form, the NPI, and those sorts of things. But associations should contact Mike McClure, and he'll make sure that they can sign up for the provider trainings and make that available. There were some hospitals wanting access to the entire list of prior auth, a fixed file as opposed to the search function online. We have supplied that file to KMS, KHA, and to the University of Kansas Hospital who requested it, and we will not be placing that file on the website so that the real-time search function that will be the first thing updated will always be the most accurate, but requests for that file can be made to the provider rep or Mike McClure, and we will make that file available. As we know, some provider systems wish to load that list in their medical records system. The notices related to updates from Aetna and how will those occur, it will be the most effective method possible and dependent on the urgency of the issue, but the most common practice is going to be to post changes on our provider website, along with use a mass email and blast fax function. And, of course, major items will notify associations of the issues involved. So that'll be the communication process. And then there was a lot of discussion about clinical guidelines on the last call, and I think there was some confusion of topics in that discussion, so I just want to provide some clarity. The links on the website national clinical guidelines are truly clinical guidelines, and I believe the questions that we were receiving last time really had to do with claims and payment guidelines, prior auths and edits, and those sorts of things. And those are our policies 100% follow state policies and edits, and our claim system was set up 100% following the state bulletins, policies, and edits. As far as putting those in a written text form, we will be drafting those policies as requested, but that will be as you would expect, a time-consuming process. But the state guidance is our guiding light in that regard. I believe that covers the six items we had as takeaways from last time. So I'll turn it back over to you, Becky.
Thanks, Keith. And finally, we turn to Sunflower for their update.
Hi, this is John Allen Smith with Sunflower. We just had one item that we provided an update on last time, and we do have a little more of an update this time. It's for the work program, and that the IRS website is back up and running. We are able to get employer IDs for our members in the work program, but there is an issue that the IRS is currently not able to answer any questions due to the government shutdown. So in the meantime, we are going to continue to pay workers if you're not able to get your questions answered. At least the IRS website is back up and running, so that's a step in the right direction. Similar to Carrie United, we have no other major updates or implementation issues to share at this time, unless there's any questions from those on the phone.
Thank you. And finally, I'll turn to DXC and ask if they have any updates for anyone.
I don't believe we have anything at this time.
Okay, thanks, Lana. So, Dennis, I think we're ready to take questions from participants.
Okay, at this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad at this time. Okay, we have a question from a line of Belinda Mahoney. Please go ahead.
Yes. In your transition plan, it refers to 90 days paid as fee-for-service. My concern is we have fee-for-service and we have an RHC. So I'm assuming that we will be paid the RHC rate for the RHCs during this transition. Is that correct?
Yes, that's correct. That is correct.
Okay. And do you feel comfortable about the per diem billing for the RHCs? In the past, we've had problems with all the MCOs differentiating between the two.
Okay, I think that's you're asking that question, particular question of Aetna, correct?
Correct. Yes.
This is Kim Glenn with Aetna, and yes, for your RH covered services, we will be paying you your per diem rate. And what, Melinda, which RHC are you with?
Hutchison Clinic. We have three RHCs.
Okay. And then, yes, and then for your non-RHC services, we will pay you at the fee-for-service rate. So we truly understand that methodology, and we have things loaded that way.
Okay, thank you. And I do have another question. The Ocular, Skygen, your vision program vendor, will they have a transition period?
Yes.
And it will be the 90-day?
Correct. They'll be following all of our benefit manager vendors. Skygen will be following the transition of care policy.
Okay. That's good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Your next question is from the line of Tish Hollingsworth. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning, and thanks, everyone, for the updates. Just a kind of a follow-up, maybe comment back to Keith, and thank you for all of your updates on the issues that were raised last week. We did receive the file, the complete file of the prior authorization requirements, and what I might suggest, and maybe you've already considered it, is on the website where you have the lookup tool, that maybe you also put a note onto the website that if you are interested in receiving a complete file, how they go about doing that, and that way they can make sure as they have that prior authorization page up that if they're wanting it, it's right there easily accessible for them to know what they need to do. I appreciate getting the file, and I that's great. I will not be pushing it out. I will not be posting it or anything for fear that when it's updated, it's out of date and I'm not the source of truth on it. So I think if you can do that, that would be really good to help those providers that do want the entire list of codes for prior authorization?
Yeah, we can discuss that more with you, Tish. I mean, then we would also be pushing out a fixed single-date file that would be obsolete if they don't come back later and if they don't remember to.
Right.
So,
right. Right.
That has the same downside if we do it.
Yeah. But I think if you can put the note on there how they can ask for a complete file would be helpful so that they know that it's available and what they need to do to be able to get it.
Okay. We'll take a look at that. Thank you.
Okay. And then a second thing, follow up on the, you know, the updates from Aetna. Could you give some consideration of maybe at least now during the initial transition to Aetna Health Plan that there's a button or something that has latest updates so that any kind of latest updates that you're pushing out, whether it's through email, fax, or whatever, is in kind of a common area so that if I'm trying to remember when a notice came out on something, I go to one area on your website that might indicate latest news or something like that?
Yeah, we are working on implementing a section of what's new section on the website.
Okay,
so
good.
That's under development, so don't have any details or timing or exactly what that'll look like yet, but that's something that the project's already being considered and scoped.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sure.
Your next question is from the line of Nicole Bingham. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you. My question is directed at Aetna. I am a social worker at Children's Mercy Hospital, and we work with all of the CanCare plans frequently for patients that we're working with. And Sunflower and United Healthcare offer pretty extensive ancillary services through their non-emergency medical transportation, including transportation or gas reimbursement, lodging assistance if Ronald McDonald House is full, depending on mileage requirements, as well as meal reimbursements. And when social work staff have been calling access to care through Aetna, we're getting very conflicting information from representatives as to what ancillary benefits are available, as well as how families access those services. And the reason I'm calling in today is because I've tried numerous avenues to get a hold of someone who can shed some light on this so we can provide accurate information to all of our social work staff to then in turn give to families, and have not received calls back from representatives at Aetna or Access to Care. So I'm just trying to get some clarification on if your plan will kind of mirror that of Sunflower and United Healthcare in terms of those ancillary services that are available.
Okay, so appreciate the question, Nicole. In the first day or two, there was some confusion with our call lines on who should handle that and the appropriate transfer. But the coordination of lodging and or meals related to non-emergent transportation, right, is something our case management team will take care of. They accept the calls and process the request. So there was I know a few calls mistransferred and misunderstood as to our exact process, but there's been a lot of clarity in meetings throughout our impacted parties to make sure that the exact process is understood. So case management is where the responsibility for that lies and can be processed.
And so how do we access those? Because we've had, even yesterday, four different social workers had four very different experiences, and at one point we're told we were not allowed to have access to case manager information on how to connect with them. And I don't know if it would be better if perhaps you have my phone number and you reach out to me later.
Yes.
And we have a more thorough conversation so as to not tie this line up. But I really need to get some very clear information that we can provide to our social work team here so they know how to best serve families.
mailbox.
Yeah.
So this is Alan Schaefer with Aetna. We also have care management mailboxes for general service coordination requests as well as HCDS requests. So we can get that distributed in some way.
Yeah.
So that people, because those are monitored every hour on the hour through normal business hours. And so that is the quickest way we can respond to requests.
Okay.
The other thing is we would like to contact you offline and understand what your experience was and make sure you are comfortable with all the processes. So, yes, we would like to reach out to you as well.
Fantastic. And so when I dialed in, I provided my phone number. Does that give you my phone number, or do you need me to give you my phone number right now?
Well, you'll need to provide that to Keith.
Okay, perfect. So my direct phone number at Children's Mercy is 816-983-6811.
Thank you, Nicole. And somebody from our team will be getting back with you today.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Your next question comes from the line of Ron Campbell. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. I'm calling from Cotton O'Neill in Stormont Vale. The question is for Aetna. We've run into some issues here in the last 48 hours, and I don't know if anybody else has. We've got part of our group, it looks like, has been correctly listed as in-network, and the majority of our group is listing as out-of-network as we're calling in trying to get prior authorizations on CTs and MRIs right now. We have reached out to Mike McClure, but we're wondering if anybody else is seeing that issue or if there's any guidance you can give us as we're struggling to get patients in who are urgently needing to be seen.
So is your question related to in the call-ins when you're asking for the prior auths or the online search function?
I believe it's when they're calling in and talking to someone, they're being told that we've got a couple of locations of ours that were listed as in-network. Unfortunately, they're not any locations that have a CT scanner or an MRI.
Yeah. So the complete load process, the transition of care takes care of this, right? So it doesn't matter whether your record's showing in-network or out-of-network. The transition of care process, you will be treated in-network and paid at the negotiated rates we have. So there's no issue with that as to whether or not they tell you they find a record that's in network or not. You have extensive roster and location list and not all of those rosters and location lists are 100% loaded. We will not have a problem doing the prior auth as long as we have a provider record. If we don't have a specific provider record that you need, we'll call you and have a discussion. Yeah, we'll follow up with you.
Okay, so would your recommendation be that we go ahead and schedule them, or would your recommendation be that we hold off and talk offline? Not sure. I just want to make sure I understand correctly.
We'll call you immediately following this call, so we can solve that issue right then. So
okay. All right. Great.
Call, I would expect to be done by before 10, and we'll talk by then.
No, that sounds great. My number is 785-270-0710. Thank you.
0710.
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your next question is from the line of Amy Price. Please go ahead.
This is actually Jamie Price with Community Living Opportunities, and this question is for Aetna. You had just previously mentioned that there's a general case management telephone number, call-in line. Is there any way for you to give that number over the call today so that it goes into the transcript so that providers and family members and all have access to that number?
Yeah, just a minute.
Um, Jamie, this is Becky Roth. I think they were referencing an email box, not a phone number.
Okay, or even the email, Becky. Yeah, whatever
box,
the
yeah.
Perfect. Thank you. Whatever it is.
So we were referencing an email box, but our general 1-800 number that works for provider calls, case management, number calls is 1-855-221-5656. That's 855-221-5656. And then there's prompts that'll get you to a provider line, a member line, or the case management.
Perfect. Thank you. Is it possible to get the general email address as well?
Just a minute.
I got it.
And we can go on to other questions, and it's just as long as you can give it to the group at some point. I'm fine with moving on.
Yeah, why don't we do that after a few other questions, and we'll everybody
perfect.
Be ready.
Great. Thank you very much.
And again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. And at this time, there appear to be no further messages, questions.
Thanks, Dennis.
And I apologize, Ms. Rosa. We have another question that's come in the queue, and it's from the line of Ruth Cornwall. Please go ahead, Ruth.
Hi, good morning. I was a few minutes late getting on the call, and I apologize if this has already been addressed, but could you speak to the workaround that you have in place, Aetna, regarding the access to the portal? Some of our members are indicating that they can't get into the portal until they have a claim.
No, so we talked about that last time, that the provider called the provider experience line, and they can help them register over the phone live. So there's no delays if they just call the provider experience line, which is the same 1-800 number we just mentioned.
And then once they're done, I mean, reaching out, they'll have access that day.
Yeah, Ruth, this is Mike McClure. Yes, they can do that live. Now, as we discussed yesterday, there are some circumstances where they've been unable to link the provider due to some data detail, and they've been keeping a list of those providers, and as they get that corrected, then they'll reach back out to the provider and let them know that it's been completed and what their numbers are.
Okay, so that's what I just wanted to verify and share with the group, Mike. Thank you. Any idea, when you say that once the data's in there, any idea how far out that goes? I mean, is it just typically a few days to wrap those providers up and so that they can obtain access?
That's really kind of provider specific. I don't really feel like I can commit to a time frame on that. But certainly we're working those issues as quickly as we can.
Great. Thanks, Mike.
Thanks, Ruth.
For the previous question about the case management mailbox, there were two questions related to that, so we wanted to get this out there. The case management mailbox at Aetna is Aetna Better Health, all spelled out, no spaces, Aetna Better Health, KSCM. At Aetna.com.
Aetna Better Health KSCM at aetna.com.
And your next question is from the line of Shirley Gamble. Please go ahead.
Good morning. This is the first time I've been on the call, so again, I'm going to apologize if I'm asking a question that was asked and answered before. I tried to get on the portal to register and was unable to for obvious reasons because of a claim number. So I did call the provider experience line, and I was informed that I had to complete the ERA form and send it in, and then I would have a representative call me back, and then after that, then I would be given my access. I'm not the person in my office that has authority to sign that agreement. I just wanted it for eligibility checks and other issues that we may need to get on there and look at. Did I just get the wrong provider experience representative, or am I going to have to complete this ERA form first?
So we have some puzzled looks here about the ERA form. So what's the title on the form? We're just...
It is to sign up for electronic remittance advices.
Okay.
And it has all the clearinghouse information and all that. My office, my staff, is wanting to look at eligibility and verify different things like that. She was very insistent that form would have to be filled out, and without it, we would not have access to the provider portal.
Okay, so this is Kim Glenn, and on the provider portal, you can, and that can be done telephonically. It does not have to require signature for electronic remittance devices, and you can look up eligibility, claim status, do all of that, and then for the electronic remittance advice, that does have to work through our clearinghouse, and that form does require a signature, but it is two separate transactions.
So I just got a hold of somebody that wasn't completely informed that there are two separate transactions.
And I apologize for that, but that is probably correct.
So I just need to call back in. Okay.
Could we get your name and your contact information again? I apologize.
That's fine. My name is Shirley Gamble, G-A-M-B-L-E. I'm with the Sterling Medical Center, and my phone number is 620-278-2123.
We will make an outreach call to you, Shirley, following this call.
Okay, thank you.
And once again, everyone, if you would like to ask a question, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that was star, then the number one if you would like to ask a question. And Ms. Ross, at this time, there are no further questions.
All right. Thank you, Dennis. So I'll ask KDG, KDADs, MCOs, if anybody has any last updates or comments, anything they want to share with the group before we sign off?
This is John Amdor from KDHE. I don't believe we have anything else. Thank you, everyone, for participating.
All right. Thank you all. As I said, the transcript and the recording should be posted on the front page of the CanCare website today or tomorrow. And a reminder that we have another call scheduled for Thursday of this week at the same time. Thank you all for calling in.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining today's call. You may now disconnect.